Hello and welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And today is going to be our cute little Degrassi short right in between our coverage of seasons 5 and 6. And our topic for this Degrassi short is going to be the Degrassi reunion that happened about a week ago.
Woo! It's just a panel that kind of talks about like the 10-year reunion since Degrassi Next Generation came out.
20 years.
20-year reunion. Oh my god. Sorry. Wow. I was like, how old was it? 20-year reunion. I was 5 years old.
I was 4.
Wow. Catch up, Jasper.
I turned 25 in a month.
True. And then we'll be the same age. And it was really cool to watch the panel because they talked about a lot of different things. They had the writer of Degrassi. They had a few writers. They had Simpsons actor there. Just in advance, I don't really remember all the actors' names, so I'll probably switch between actor name slash like character names, so sorry in advance. And then they brought on a few of the actors and then a few that were not from Next Generation.
Technically seasons 1 through 14 are all the Next Generation, but starting with season 10 they dropped the Next Generation tagline. So it's kind of, starting with season 10, is kind of the next generation. And the people they brought on from there were Aislinn, Monroe, and Luke, who were Claire, Eli, and Drew.
Nice. Nicely done. But we're going to start with kind of the beginning of the panel. And they had Linda, was it Schuler?
Skylar.
Close. And she pretty much like created Degrassi.
Yes, she is the mother of Degrassi from the very beginning. I think she had said that it was her 41st year of working on Degrassi, which is crazy.
Yeah, 41 years. That is, I have not been alive anywhere near as long as that. Crazy. But she was a high school teacher. How fun is that?
Bridget, you could be the next creator of Degrassi.
Could you imagine? I just like create a freaking TV show franchise that is largely popular in Canada and the United States.
And around the world.
Yeah, so they were interviewing Linda, asking her, like, oh, how did it start? And it started with Ida Makes a Movie, which neither of us have seen that. But then it grew into Degrassi Junior High, which both of us have seen.
Yes. And I knew this. I don't know if you knew this, Bridget, but it always is fun to me how they named Emma after the fact that they won an Emmy for the Spike pregnancy storyline. So Emma is called Emma because they won an Emmy for...
Yeah, I think you told me that at some point. So then when I was watching it and they said it, I was like, oh, Jasper told me that.
Yes, that's just... It's fun. It's fun. And yeah, I actually didn't know when they were talking about like how the Next Generation came about. I didn't know that they were forming a different teen show at the time. And then they just made the connection about Emma being in middle school. And then they just went with it from there. I didn't know that there was kind of an already existing teenage show in development. I thought it was just Degrassi from the very beginning.
I feel like that's just so lucky. Like that is like way too weird that that worked out so well.
Well, I think the timeline doesn't work out too much, which is always a problem in Degrassi. Because I think if you do the math, Emma would probably have been like 14 or so at the beginning of the Next Generation instead of 12 in seventh grade. So timeline issues, regardless, like it was still great how they did that. So I'm definitely interested to see what they'll do for a potential reboot. How they'll draw the connection there.
That was the one thing that was kind of disappointing is that they did not say there's going to be like a definite reboot or anything. I guess we're not too far off from when like Degrassi ended, quote unquote ended. They probably need more time because I feel like between reboots, there's like a lot of time usually.
Yeah, it's only been 4 years since Next Class ended.
So there's still a chance it could happen. But we can get more to the reboot at the end because some of the characters like talk about the reboot too, or the actors.
Mm-hmm. Something else they talked about in that kind of beginning segment was the Canadian versus American audience reaction to the abortion storylines, which was really interesting. Like, of course, we've talked about before about how Manny's abortion episode was banned from America for a while. But I didn't know that, like, abortion was a hot topic in the news at the time. Like, it was just kind of the story of, like, of the month or whatever, and that's why it was banned. So that was kind of cool to think about how, like, the very current events are influencing how that episode was aired or not.
I loved how they, like, low-key bashed America. They were like, yeah, they're very sensitive over there. They're like, we can pretty much do anything in Canada, but we cannot do anything in the United States. And what was kind of cool is that they said they had to run it by, like, people in the United States, or like they ran it like through like screenwriters or something, so that they could see like what would be approved and like what wouldn't be approved and stuff. Even though the episode wasn't played originally, they still had to like do that with certain plots. That's like an interesting thing to learn.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they said this in the panel, but I know that they've said this in the past about how America wanted them to kind of rewrite the ending of that episode for Manny to feel guilty about her decision to have an abortion. But the writers were very adamant that Manny was going to own her decision and not feel bad about it. So that was really cool that they kind of stood their ground on that too.
Thank God. Because it's like enough making women feel guilty for choosing things. Like, leave us alone.
Yeah.
Not to get political, but seriously. Yeah, so that was a really cool thing. And then they even talked about how it kind of like grew. It went from Erica, who was one of the twins who had the abortion in junior high, and then Manny, and then to Lola, and how like they kind of talked about this towards the end, where they were like, oh, how is like Degrassi like adjusted to kind of like time changes, or like if you were to do it in 2020, like what would be different? And they were like, honestly, what happened like in that time period like fit what happened there. And like you can even see like the growth of like the abortion topic, like the fact that Erica's like was a few episodes, and then Manny, like she didn't regret it at the end, and Lola, it wasn't even like the abortion that we like watched. We watched like the aftermath. So it kind of just was interesting how they changed it throughout time instead of like keeping it the same.
Yeah, and that's something that's really great about Degrassi, is it's kind of a time capsule in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even like Craig's actor at one point, which we'll get to which actors were there, was saying how he wishes that his character wasn't so toxic, and he's like, but also at the time period, he's like, now I don't think I could get away with it. But like then it like was different, and like it's true, it is 100% true. I think we're holding men more accountable than we were back in like the early 2000s.
Yes, and I loved how he said that, because I'm glad that he also recognizes how Craig is trash. It really validated my feelings about Craig.
I knew it would. I absolutely knew it would. Oh yeah, really quick before we move on. But so the actors that were there was Shane, who played Spinner, Lauren, who played Paige, Daniel, who played Sean, Christina, who played Terry, and then what, I forget Craig and Hazel's actors' real names.
Jake Epstein and Andrea Lewis.
Okay, so those are the people who were introduced first, and then they had Claire, Eli, and Drew later on.
And then along with that kind of Canada versus America kind of thing, it was really interesting about when they talked about the mall tours. Like, I wish I could have gone to one of those, but they talked about how, like, at the mall tours, it was the reception at the like Canada mall tours versus the American ones were so different. Like America, they were like celebrities, but in Canada, nobody cared.
Yeah, and they said nobody cared because everybody just knew someone that was on Degrassi at some point, which is so funny, because I feel like that must be true, because there's so many characters, so many people that come through Degrassi that I do not doubt. Like, I know someone who worked with someone who was on Degrassi, and I'm not even in Canada, so it still like follows through.
Wait, shit, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I told you, it was one of the guys at work did like an improv class with Kendra's actress.
Oh right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so even that is like a small, because Kendra ended up coming to the United States, but whatever, not the point. But I really liked how Craig's actor was like, oh yeah, I had to do my mall tour with Aubrey, who is Drake. He had to do his with Drake, and now he's like, people probably regret taking their picture with me because you had to pick either him or Drake. And yeah, no, your picture with Drake would be worth a little bit more, I would think. That's funny. I really like their conversation about who auditioned for who. I kind of wish they talked a little bit more about that. It was cut kind of short, but I liked that Shane only auditions for Spinner, because like, if you see him from season one, like, he, perfect fit. Like, I'm sure he walked in and they were like, you don't even need to talk, like, you're it. But then like, Paige, the actress, was saying how she auditioned for both Paige and Ashley.
Could you imagine if Lauren Collins was Ashley?
I think she would have killed it. I think that would have been, I think she could have done anything, but I think that would have been so funny. But
well, that's really interesting too, because we've talked about how Ashley was like the main character in season one, and then she gradually loses importance, Ashley does, while Paige skyrockets in importance. So that is clearly like an impact of like kind of the actor's charisma, I feel, at least a little bit, and how the character resonated with the audience. So it would be really interesting to think about how if Lauren Collins was playing Ashley, how Ashley's character might have changed.
That's so true. Yeah, I liked that a lot. I was like, that's really interesting. And I also liked a little bit about Marco's character and like Adamo, and how they were like, oh, we hired him as just like a break dancer. I think it was probably that episode where like Jimmy and Spinner like dance it off at the dance, and like, yes, Adama was just doing that in the background, and they're like, wow, he's so cool. And they're like, he's gay, we're gonna use him, even though they said they didn't know he was gay, and he didn't even know he was gay.
Like, they've talked about this before, and they also mentioned this in the panel, about how part of the authenticity of Degrassi is how the actors grow up with their characters. And that's like one of the big reasons why I love Degrassi so much, just because it's really authentic. Like, you get to see the characters grow up before your eyes over the years, and get to see them kind of go through the same issues that they're acting through, if that makes sense. And they even talked about how even if they weren't personally going through those issues, they were educated a lot about those issues by having portrayed them.
Yeah, that is something that I want to talk about also, because at first, like, Craig's actor started with his bipolar and like having to learn about bipolar and how he had a family member that was impacted, and like they brought in researchers to do it, which was, now I mean, like, watching it, we're kind of like, I don't really know how well that was portrayed. But also, if we're matching up with the timeline of what people thought bipolar was, maybe it does work. But what was interesting was that Monroe and Aslan and Luke were all saying how Adam's character being transgender was the biggest impact on them. And that was so interesting, because I thought Monroe would have been like, bipolar for me too. But nope, it was that.
Mm-hmm. What Monroe was saying was how he recently, it seemed like, has just discovered he has a transgender relative, I think he said.
Yeah.
So that's probably why Adam has been more impactful to him, probably more recently. But yeah, it was really good to call that out, because I think I've mentioned this before about how Adam was the first main teenage transgender character on a TV show. So Degrassi was really a trailblazer in that respect, and even back with Marco too.
Yeah, they said, what did he say? I think Craig at some point, Craig's actor, because they were like, oh, did they like play around with the idea for like bisexual Craig after, you know, him and Marco kissed? And he was like, no, like, I don't think so. Or they like asked, but then he was like, you know, he's more of an ally, because at that time they kind of like, not excluded gay characters in shows, but kind of like exiled them, or like didn't really give them a lot. So he was like, no, it was like nice to give Marco this, just this friend to have. And I was like, that is so sad. Like, honestly.
But Marco was also friends with everybody.
Yeah, they like did a great job with his character.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back a little bit in time to when they said, do you think Sean died in combat? But who's saying that? Stop. That is so fake. And that's the one question you're gonna ask this actor? That's the question?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen it more often that they're like, oh my god, I hope Sean and Anya met in the army.
It's like, no. But I do like that people want to bring Shane, Spinner's actor, was saying how he's like, I don't think things with Jane were like completely done. Like, I think that we should bring all of them back together and see what happens. And I'm like, I think they're done, but whatever. I like the idea.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more later when we talk about reboot ideas that we have. But yes, for sure. It's really awesome how everybody, or maybe not everyone on that panel, but like so many people were willing to come back. They're like, yeah, I would love to come back. Like Christina Schmidt was saying how she wants to kind of redo the ice cream voice scene, which was super cute. She's like, I want to show him up. Yeah, I am a model, bitch. Who are you? So it's just like really cool how they really all look fondly on their time on the show. Whereas I feel like a lot of child actors really regret their time on the show. Like for instance, the new iCarly reboot, Sam's actress is like, I want nothing to do with the show because it was a really traumatic time for me. So it's really great how Degrassi was a really healthy place for the actors to work for the most part. They even talked about how it was basically like a summer camp.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like Canada must do it differently because in America, they were saying they're like, these guys weren't working 13 hour days. Like they were coming in, they were filming, and then they would have weeks off. So I'm sure that like, if you watch Degrassi, obviously you do, if you're listening to this podcast, you'd like to think they have like usually group kind of episodes, like two or three episodes that like go together, and then they move like to different actors and different plots. So I'm sure that they film those together, and then the other actors who aren't in it are probably just off doing their thing, and then they get called and they come back, which is so much healthier for kids to do. And it like worked out. But I did want to say, were you shocked that Luke or Drew's actor was like, I don't even know what you're talking about with the ice cream scene? Like, do you think that they just never watched Degrassi like before they were on the show or even after?
Yeah, that was something I was thinking about too, because for them it's just a job. Like they all seemed to like recognize the impact of the show on Canadian culture and like even American culture and like the impact that they could have on their audience. But in terms of like knowing the history of the show, I'd be surprised if honestly any actor on the show has seen the entire series from beginning to end, which is kind of sad.
I think it is. I think they're missing out. But I also kind of understand because even like with our podcast, like after we like edit it and like do timestamps and stuff, like once it's on Spotify, I don't touch it. I'm scared. I don't want to listen. I don't want anything to do with it. So I couldn't even imagine if I was like on TV, like I don't think I would have watched. Like maybe to prepare myself, but if you're like a new character like Drew, like you don't need any back prep or anything. Whereas like Claire was coming in as Darcy's sister, so maybe you would have wanted to watch and see like what Darcy is like. But yeah, it's kind of funny to think that they just like went on the show, did their thing, and then left, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm. Like I know that Annie Clark, who's Fiona's actress, I know she's talked about how she was a fan of the show before she got on. But she's the only person who I could think of. There might be a few who watched original Degrassi, 80s Degrassi, but I can't think of many people who either watched The Next Generation or even anybody who watched the show after they left.
That's so funny to think about. And then here we are watching it. Yeah, no, I'm happy that they get to like talk about their experience almost as if it's like brand new. Like Luke hearing it for the first time is like kind of cute. I liked it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I would love for them to kind of be a fan of the show, like have it be more than just a job or like a summer camp with their friends. Like it would be cool for them to be a fan of the show and just like be in on the memes and like the jokes and such.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Oh, the other like huge heavy hitter plot that we didn't mention was Terry. They started this off with like Terry's abusive relationship with Rick and her actress, you know, she was like, I was really young. Like, I didn't even know this was happening to people, which is so fair. And she says that she still gets messages to this day about how people are like, your character got me through like a really tough time. And I think the other comparison that comes to mind for the abusive relationship is Allie for me, And hers was rough to watch. But I feel like Terry's was something that seemed more realistic. Like Allie's, her guy came from Italy to like live with her in the United States. Like it was a stretch. It was a little bit of a stretch. But with like Terry and Rick, like it was real. Totally could have been something that people experience. And I just can't even imagine being like 14, 15 trying to like do that. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really goes back to like the show not only educates its audience, but it educates its actors too.
Yep, absolutely.
So Degrassi is just really great all around. Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out was they talked about Eli and Claire for a minute. And Monroe had said that he thinks the bench scene was really the first one that made the audience resonate with Eli and Claire as a couple. How do you feel about that as a E. Claire fan?
What is the bench scene? I literally was like, what bench scene? I feel so bad.
Okay, so there's actually two bench scenes, but the one where they are filming Romeo and Juliet and they kiss, there's that one.
Okay, I don't think I would have considered that a bench scene because weren't they sitting on the table?
Yes, but the other one could also be when they skip class and then Eli has Claire yell out in the crowd to kind of, you know, get her creative juices flowing. I think it's that one, but I could also potentially see it being the Romeo and Juliet scene.
If I were to pick one, I remember the Romeo and Juliet scene better. But I mean, it was just kind of funny that he referred to it as the bench scene. If he said their first kiss, I would have been like, yes, absolutely. Like that was such a good scene. What did you think? Do you feel like that's like a memorable one? I do agree. He did also bring up the classroom one where they like kind of have like a little bit of banter like in class. And that I remember too. So I was like, oh, I kind of like him. He's like funny. Even though he was a little spicy too.
Yeah, I think the buildup to Eclair was pretty well done. Like they were pretty cute at first until, you know, Eli crashes hers. But yeah, I personally feel like it's the screaming scene that he's referring to, just because that's kind of the first scene, I think, where they're kind of flirting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's probably true. I mean, for me, I like the Romeo and Juliet scene better, but that's because I'm a romantic. I think Heslin's as an actress, very interesting. I didn't realize how much like thought went into Eli and Claire, I guess. And also the fact that their actors were siblings in another show.
What do you mean there was a lot of thought put into them?
She just seems to, like the way she was talking, it seemed like they really tried to build something between them. And like, I'm sure that probably happens with like all actors and actresses, but it just the way that she spoke seemed super professional. And like, even though she was young, I think she's just a very intelligent person.
Yeah, I was really surprised by all the things that Aislinn was saying, honestly.
Oh, Aislinn. So how do you say her name?
Aislinn.
Oh, I thought it was Aslan. Okay.
Whatever. But yeah, like she had some really profound points to make. And like, I'm not the biggest Claire fan. So I feel like I don't really think of Aislinn too much outside of, you know, Claire had a million different things happen to her. So like seeing just her being so like really reflecting on her experience, like with the Adam thing, or like when she was talking about how Degrassi is really sensitive towards the topics it goes about. I think she like criticized 13 Reasons Why when she was talking about it. So yeah, she was just like, you could tell that she had thought about all of this, which like makes sense given that she was on the show for like a decade. But yeah, like with respect to that, like I was thinking about, and I tweeted about this, about how kind of the Claire generation isn't really given as much props as the next generation does, at least on social media. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think part of it is that the next generation only had like a few, not like a few, there were a lot of like tough plots. But the problem was that with the Claire's generation, there were a lot of hard plots and not enough cute, softer plots to like even it out. So I feel like for the next generation, you can kind of feel that they're more like friends and their friend groups kind of overlapped. And like, there were some silly plots. There were some plots that weren't so serious. There were some plots that were super serious, but there was always that like nice transitioning, like nice, like JT always was cracking a joke somewhere, even if he wasn't in the plot, like nice to have. Whereas like with Claire and Fiona and Declan, like there's just always something going on that I feel like it's hard to like enjoy them as like characters and friends versus them just kind of having really intense plots and just like, hope you survive this one, good luck. Like that kind of feeling.
I disagree a little bit because I do feel like the Claire's generation, like season 10 generation, and even Maya's generation with Next Class, I think they had like, you know, silly plots here and there, like Dave messing with Miss O by taking his pants off in class while Adam is kind of hurting himself. So they had like kind of comic relief things happening. I do somewhat see your point about kind of the friend groups intermingling, because especially I'd say with Eli's class, they were introduced as juniors, so we didn't have as much time with them. So we didn't have as much time to kind of have big friend groups and to have overlapping friend groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see the point there. But I think the big thing is just like, for some reason, the next generation just has more nostalgia associated with it. I don't know if it's because of Drake or it's because like just more people ended up watching the next generation because of reruns, because I feel like there weren't many reruns of the season 10 era, just because there were so many episodes in that era that you couldn't really have reruns, at least when I was watching the show, because I grew up watching the show in the season 10 era.
I think there definitely is more nostalgia because it's like, I think even without having watched Degrassi Junior High and High, like before that, and I knew that like Simpson had been on the old Degrassi and Snake had been on the old Degrassi and like some of the adults had been, like there's kind of just that feeling of like, ooh, I like to watch like these people who have been on the show before. It's like kind of like fun. And then once Claire gets phased in, the only person left is really Simpson. And he's not even in every episode, or he might be for like 1 second, but he doesn't really have many plots anymore. And then that's kind of leaves like all the nostalgia behind. But I did see on Twitter that other people do kind of feel the same way about the season not having too many like breaks from traumatic things, like the later seasons. So I'm not alone because I read the Degrassi Twitter.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Thanks. I'm not lying.
Yeah, it's just like, this is moving a bit ahead, but like when thinking about a reboot, I am not really concerned, but I imagine what the case will be is that they're going to focus all of their nostalgia in the reboot on like Emma and Spinner and such. And they're not going to focus on like Claire's generation or Maya's generation, which really sucks because every generation has its pros and cons. So I think it would really be a disservice to those generations to just kind of ignore them in favor of the next generation, just because it's the most popular.
So I'm going to disagree with you only because they didn't do that in this in Degrassi Next Generation. Like they brought back some of the characters, like they brought back Simpson, Joey, Snake, and oh my God, why am I blanking?
Spike and Caitlin.
Thank you. I said Simpson and Snake. I meant Spike. They brought them back, but they did a pretty even split of them and Emma. And then slowly, as seasons went on, they phased them out. And I think that was done very well. And I think that they would be able to do the same thing. They would just need to do something super dramatic the first two episodes again, like they did with the Emma cyber stalking thing. Because then your focus was, oh shit, Emma's literally could be in super big danger, but also isn't this so exciting that Joey's back? So it's like, I think that they were able to balance it really well. And I would not be worried. I think that they could do it again. I'll just have to wait and see if they do it the right way. I have hope. I think they could.
But do you think they'll like just bring back like the popular Next Generation characters, or do you think they will also kind of represent Claire's generation or Maya's generation.
I think they would only bring back like Spinner and Emma, maybe. And then I think they would bring back Claire, Eli, Drew, Drew, and like them. Because look who was brought to the panel. Like it was Eli, Claire, and Drew. So I think they could bring them back. Maya, I would like to think they would, like Maya and Zig. But maybe Zoe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they'll pick the main characters that people did like, and then maybe they'll work it in kind of like how they had Wheels in one episode with Joey. And then maybe they'll have like how they had, oh my God, what's her name? The girl who was in the car accident with Wheels.
Lucy?
Yeah, they brought her back for an episode. So I think that they'll bring back like selective, more outside characters. But I feel like Claire's had the most episodes. They're going to keep her as like a main. Or at least it could be her and Eli's kid. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm mostly just worried that like it'll just be the next generation that they're going to lean on for the nostalgia purposes, which I would just be disappointed about, really.
I would be shocked only because I think they had to do that for Degrassi Next Generation because they only had Junior High and High. Whereas now they have 14 seasons worth of people.
Plus next so, class.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it would kind of be insane if they only took Emma, Spinner, Liberty, because I think some people might not even know them. Like I know some people do, like, you know, I know they're very popular, but I feel like there could also be people who started with Claire and Eli. And like those are there, Emma and Sean.
That's me.
So I think that in these panels and stuff, it makes sense to bring them back. But I think in reality, like Emma is not as relevant anymore as Claire is. So I'm going to be positive. I'm going to have hope. I really do think Claire's kid would be the kid that they would bring back.
Really? Over Spinner and Emma's kid?
Yes. Spinner and Emma, it's too far. It's over. It's too far gone.
But at least timeline-wise, Spinner and Emma would make more sense, at least.
But they don't care about timelines. We know this.
Yeah.
But I think what they could do is start the Degrassi, and then like two seasons in, bring in Claire and Eli's kid. And then now it's like, ooh, interesting. This person's here.
That could work.
I don't know. I'm just making it up as I go. Okay, so let's bring it back, though, to the panel. And then, I mean, like, we pretty much talked about the reboot and stuff. I think there's just, like, one last thing I wanted to talk about with the panel. Well, we kind of actually discussed this, just, like, the accountability of Craig and, like, how things would be done differently with, like, Manny flashing her boobs. And, like, what was Simpson saying about dick pics? Did that happen in the Netflix Degrassi?
Yes, Miles and Winston sent each other dick pics over Snapchat for fun.
Right? Okay, I thought that. I was trying to remember. I was like, that was a very specific thing that he said that I was like, wait, why did we bring up dick pics?
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up was just when Linda, like, she's talked about this a million times about how they are very purposeful about casting teenagers. And we mentioned this earlier about how just that just makes the show so much more authentic.
Yes, absolutely. Especially in the United States, we don't do that because it, like, I don't know, costs less or something ridiculous, like, because there's less rules for people over 18, so it's like makes more sense to cast somebody who's older. So just like we're stuck watching Riverdale, who has like 25 year olds playing like 17 year olds, and it's just like, this isn't real. Like, we know this isn't real. Whereas like Degrassi, you're watching it and you're like, even some episodes for me, I'm like, I'm an adult, like this kind of makes me feel weird watching like 12 year olds. But then you get past it.
Yes. I'm not sure how I would feel for a Degrassi reboot and I was watching 12-year-olds, because I started watching them as 12-year-olds when I was like 14. So it's not as weird because I've been watching these episodes since I was a kid myself. But if in a reboot and I'm watching 12-year-olds, I don't know how weird I'll feel.
Which is why I think it's important to bring back some adults.
Yes.
Because that's, I think, what draws people into, like, watching the... Because even right now, I don't turn on Disney Channel to watch kids because it's, like, not relatable for me. And like, that's fine. Watch what you want. But yeah, Degrassi, same thing. I've been watching it since I was like 12.
But I think the key thing about Degrassi is, even though it is a teen show and it is acted by teenagers, it still deals with adult problems. So I feel like Degrassi is pretty universal in that respect, even though it is about high school.
Yeah, I mean, if you even think about me rewatching season 6, there's a gambling plot. There's the college plots that, like, honestly relatable. The fact that they even have an abortion plot, like, abortion can happen at any age. So it doesn't even matter if it's in high school or not. They're still dealing with the same emotions as if you were 25 and got an abortion. STD, AIDS, pregnancy. Yeah. So like, pretty much anything like that is universal. And also for any age group.
And that's kind of brings up the point that they talked about how all these other teen shows would not exist without Degrassi.
I don't think they would easily. And if they do exist and they don't touch upon those plots, that's why they're kind of boring. Not boring. They're just different type. Like, a show that comes to mind is like Zoe 101. There's no deep plots in Zoe 101.
Yeah.
The deepest they get is they have a crush on somebody. That's about it.
Yes, exactly. So I did want to shout out Sex Education. I know Monroe shouted that out too, just because that is the only show that I've watched recently, a teen show, I guess, that really captures the feeling of Degrassi for me.
And I will check it out. Maybe we'll do like a mini on Sex Education.
I'd love to do that.
Okay. Could be in the works for the future.
Before we get into like specific things we want in a reboot, we've kind of mentioned a couple things already, but I just loved how Lauren said she wants Degrassi to get it rebooted so her son can watch Degrassi. That was so cute.
That is so cute. I love that. Because is she not pregnant right now too? Or?
No.
Okay. So her son like is, how old's her son?
Probably like a year and a half.
Okay, so he's relatively new. I don't know what you say, young.
Yeah.
Recently born. That would be so cute though. I love that. Maybe her son could be in the new Degrassi.
Wow. Full circle. Paige could come back as a mom.
That would be fun. I would love that. Okay, let's talk about reboot things.
Okay, so we talked a bit about how we need to have alumni there to bridge the gap, just to kind of make it like the next generation. You know, like, a really great thing about Degrassi is it is like a legacy. So you need to have alumni to kind of bridge that gap. But I do think the focus should still be on the kids. Like, I'm worried, like, from this panel, they were like, oh, we're going to bring Sean back to make, like, a love triangle with Sean, Emma, and Spinner. I would not want something like that focused on a ton.
Well, they could split the episode like they always do. Like, there could be multiple plots going on. Like, it could be a B plot.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't want that. I'm not a big fan of the adult plots in The Next Generation.
I know you're not.
Like,
I am, though. I love adult plots.
The Snake and Spike plots are okay, just because they have it connect to Emma and how Spike and Snake's problems connect to Emma. But Joey and Caitlin, all of their things are just like, it's just them, and it barely affects Craig. So like, it really felt unnecessary for the Joey and Caitlin plots. So I would hate for that to kind of be the case if like they were to do a love triangle or a love square, if they brought Jane back too.
I mean, I'm feeling the complete opposite. I want them to have like it split, kind of, even if it's like a C plot, you know, like that I don't mind. I think my request would be that there isn't some weird crossover adults into Degrassi thing again, because like Liberty and the Black Lives Matter thing, and like, it was just so weird. It made me like super uncomfortable. I was like, I don't know what like is going on. Like, it was just a weird combo of alumni and current people. And I kind of feel like I would want it to be kind of separate. Like, I don't want it to take place in Degrassi. They don't need to talk to kids. Like, I would rather it kind of be like slightly connected, but not to a point where they are interacting with the characters as much. Like, I want it to be their own thing.
But then it might as well just be a show with just the alumni and have it be focused on the adults.
Like, well, because they don't have Joey going to the school and interacting with the students.
Yeah, and I hate those plots with Joey because they're irrelevant.
Okay, so we have different views on this, so we're never going to agree. So I'm going to just, we're going to move on. But that's what I want, and that's what you want. Different. Okay.
Something I was thinking about is, should they start with high school or middle school characters? Because every generation so far has started with middle school. But we have discussed at length about how the middle school plots are kind of pretty boring. So I don't know if we would want to keep it with middle school to kind of keep that kind of authentic, snotty-nosed middle schoolers for the first couple seasons, or to just start fresh with high school.
Well, I think they even know that the middle school doesn't work because they keep combining them into the high school.
So well, that's really just to keep the cast at the same setting. Because like they have two grades, so when the older kids go to high school, you don't want to have two different settings that you have to film in.
No, I know, but I also understand that they do it so that they can keep the seasons going for as long as they can with their main characters. But I think their best bet is to just start at high school. I think if you want to go into middle school, just start at 8th then and make it an 8-12 school. But like 7th grade's too young. It's not entertaining to watch because they're like actually like 10.
Okay. The other thing which I'm interested to hear your thoughts on as an actual teacher is how to kind of incorporate social media into the next generation, the next generation. Just because I feel like the way they did it in the later seasons was okay. It wasn't the best, especially how we interact with social media changes like every couple months, I feel.
Yeah, I think they need to make it natural. I think they need to pick what in social, not like what is happening right now in social media. So like, for example, TikTok is very big, right? Making TikToks is still happening in schools. Having people make TikToks in the background of scenes is fine. Making it a plot, not fine. Because I think once you pick a certain social media to make a plot, you're really taking a risk that is going to be relevant when the episode is released. So I think that needs to be a natural, like Twitter. No kids use Twitter. Not a single child uses Twitter, which is why I feel safe as a teacher using Twitter, because no 14-year-old tweets anymore. It's not a popular thing. So you wouldn't have a plot about Twitter currently. So I think you would just need to make it like a natural thing. Like people have their phones out, people text, like nobody emails anymore. Like you just got to make it so that it's not cringy to watch. Because they were able to do plots this whole time without phones. So what's like the difference? That now it has to be mainly focused on social media? It doesn't have to be.
No, I completely agree. Like I'm kind of thinking from the lens of their point about kind of adapting to the times. Like, of course, they're still going to be dealing with the same broad issues of like self-esteem, friendships, relationships and stuff. But they need to do that from kind of the setting of every teenager uses social media a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd just be interested with how they kind of adapt that to TV to make it not cringy. Because like, I know I recently rewatched Jane the Virgin and they made a Damn Daniel joke and I was like, oh God. So like you can't really refer to like memes because yeah, it will be outdated by the time the episode releases. But how do you kind of reconcile that, I feel, to like make it authentic?
I think you need to hire somebody that's young. Like you can't have, like as great as Linda is, she needs a young writer with her on that, because even the title sequence for the Netflix show with like the hashtags and like the, come on. So freaking corny. Like you don't need that, you know? So it's like somebody, I don't know who's helping her, but they need to get somebody who's in their like mid to late 20s to like help out.
Yeah, I completely agree. Or even, I don't know if they do this, but they could just elicit feedback from the actors because they'll be teenagers. Just be like, hey, is this something you guys would actually say or like feel comfortable to speak up if this is completely ridiculous?
I think that is a great idea.
What storylines would you want them to kind of reimagine?
Like, do again for the millionth time?
Yes.
Abusive relationship, but make it not like whatever they did with Allie. You know, it's like, I think that that would be important. I could see them doing abusive relationships using social media. Like, I think that they could tie it in a way of like, not abusive, but just like kind of like that way you could be like, oh, hey, like, you follow this girl you used to hook up with, like, that's not cool. And then they're like, well, I don't care because blah, blah. Like, you can like tie it in that way. So I think they could do another type of abusive relationship. I would like to see more of like an emotional one than a physical one, personally, because I feel like they don't really do emotional ones. I also think I would like to do more of like getting a job or having a job in high school ones. Like, I know a lot of people work at the dot, but I wouldn't mind like continuing some like job ones, kind of like how Paige worked at the movie theater and like Drew worked at the mall. Like, I kind of like those. Like, I would like another one of those.
Yes, I agree.
What about you?
Well, I was just thinking about how they were going to inevitably do a pregnancy storyline, of course.
I know.
So, yeah, I was just thinking about how that could be reimagined.
They could keep it. They could keep the baby, right? Wouldn't that be nuts?
Yeah, but also, I think we've talked about this before, or at least I have, about how I feel like today's generation isn't super opposed to abortion, like, morally.
Yeah.
So I feel like taking a baby to term is less likely to happen, of course, in my narrow point of view.
No, I mean, I agree, but I also feel like it's something Degrassi hasn't done since Spike.
Yes.
So I would like to see someone go all the way through it, and then, but also like having friends with them, like having friends like help them like raise the kid, and like, I don't know, maybe advocating for a daycare at the school, like just like different things that you can do now that you might not have been able to do before. But yeah, I feel like an abortion would probably make the most sense though. I would like to see like a pregnancy one with maybe, oh, well, I guess Claire was kind of an older character with her pregnancy, so never mind.
Are there new problems that you think exist today for teenagers that you think would be interesting to explore?
Yeah, honestly, there's like a lot of, there's things that you don't think about with like poverty and technology. So like, we were going to play Kahoot in class and I was like, all right, everybody take out like your phones or like your computer or whatever. And one of my kids is like, I don't have a phone. And I was like, that was really rude of me to assume that everybody, you know, has a phone. So I feel like there's like different ways that you can approach like a poverty plot line, which I know they kind of did with Zig a little bit, but I feel like it was not like extended as long. Like, I feel like it was a pretty short one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things. So just a lot of like physical fights over like someone gave me a look. So that's not exciting. The masks really kept kids apart. Would love to see a season of Degrassi with masks, because it would be the most boring thing ever. These kids did not talk to each other in school with masks on.
Oh my god, imagine they did a Zoom season.
I would rather die. There it is. That's irrelevance. What about you? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I was just thinking about how to incorporate social media in a not awful way.
That's fair.
Yeah. As cringy as it would be to like have a plot about a character wanting to become an influencer, I feel like that's something that kids do, right?
No, not in high school. No. I mean, like maybe like later in high school. Like, I teach ninth grade and there's no kids that are like, there's kids who are like, I'm TikTok famous, but it wasn't because they did it on purpose. It's because they were like, they made a funny video and then it went viral. So I can see like maybe influencer, or I could see maybe someone becomes viral on accident. And like, that's kind of funny. I think a lot of the influencers tend to be people our age, like that I'm seeing online now.
I guess that's true. But I wouldn't want a character to actually become an influencer, because that's unrealistic. Like, that's that whole famous problem that we've talked about before.
Ugh, yeah. Like TikTok famous.
Yeah. So I wouldn't want someone to actually become famous. I would want maybe someone to try to do that, but in not a cringy way.
Yeah, that could be good. I'm trying to think of any more. I mean, obviously we'd want another transgender character that wouldn't die. Probably want some characters of diversity that don't appear.
The whole cast is gonna be gay.
Sure, who cares? I don't know. Like, just but I would also like characters to be transgender or gay and it not be their whole personality.
Yes.
That would be nice, right? Bare minimum.
Yes.
Maybe more hair dyeing. I feel like not a lot of hair dyeing has been going on. We need more of that.
Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention about a reboot is about, I guess, the main character. Like, we have our Emma, Claire, and Maya. I was thinking how the next main character should be a character of color, like maybe like a Black main character rather than just a white blonde.
I would think that's a great idea. I also wouldn't mind it being a boy.
Although, with that, I do think Degrassi is primarily watched by teen girls.
Oh.
Like, right? It's I'd say it's a show targeted more towards teen girls, right? Than teen boys.
I guess so. I never noticed because I talk about it with you the most. And my friend Amanda and her boyfriend watch it together. And our friend Thomas used to watch it. So I know boys that watch it, but I don't. I guess it is. I never even thought about it.
Yeah, like Degrassi is definitely universal. Like anyone can relate to it. But in terms of, I guess, the marketing or just like the perception of it is that it's a show for girls, right? Yeah. Like, of course, the perception can change over time as, you know, gender norms have gradually becoming less stupid. But just like from that perspective, like the fact that it's maybe not target audience, but like the biggest audience of people who watch it are teen girls. I feel like the main character should be a girl, right?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, I don't know if you remember this, but Saad's little sister from Next Class, she was introduced in the last season of Next Class.
Okay.
And I think that if Next Class had continued, she would have become the main girl.
Yeah, sorry, I'm still trying to think. Is Saad the one who like accidentally became a terrorist?
Yes.
Was that not a racist plotline? Or am I just like, we'll talk about it one day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one day. But yeah, they introduced his sister. So she would have been, I guess, a Middle Eastern main girl, which would have been really cool for representation rather than just the white blonde.
So all about supporting diversity, and I'm all about supporting that stuff, but you also have to think about the plot lines that will fit culturally. Like her culture, she's not sending nudes. Like that's not happening. You can't do a plot line that like that. That's going to insult a lot of people. So if you want to do plot lines like that, that's where you're going to need to introduce the other characters where culturally it's not going to affect them in that type of way. So I'm all for it, but then they're going to need to introduce side characters that can have those other types of plots.
That's what you got your Manny's for. That's what you got your Pages for, and Zoe or whatever.
Yeah. Do you not consider Zoe one of like the main?
Well, when I think of the lead of their generation, that's Emma, Claire, and Maya.
Oh, I think Zoe is at the last for me personally. Like, I think Maya kind of dies down and Zoe kind of meets her.
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Okay, but I see what you're saying. No, I would prefer a more diverse cast. It's just they even like screwed themselves because they don't have a super diverse cast to like be like, oh, hey, these people had kids. Like, I guess it could be Liberty's kid, but like,
more, yeah, that's true. If they do a Spinner Emma kid, that's going to be a white main character.
Yeah, that's where I was like, if they want to like start it brand new, then they totally could do something like that. But I think that we've come to a point in time where like it is necessary to have a diverse main character and their friend can be white.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm all for it.
Okay, do you have any other thoughts on the panel or on a reboot in general?
Would love a reboot. Panel was really cute. Kind of want to know like why those specific actors were in this panel. Did they reach out to anybody else? Like, are these the ones who responded? Or like, I'm kind of curious about that, but that's not something that neither of us can answer right now.
Yeah, because especially like Terry's actress, Christina, like she left the show pretty early. So I was kind of surprised that she was on.
Me too. And Luke kind of seemed awkward.
It made sense a little bit for Luke, Aislinn, and Monroe to be a little awkward just because they were the only ones from their generation. Everyone else was the next
generation.
So they definitely felt out of place, I feel.
I agree. I think they could have done two different ones and it would have been fun.
Yes.
That would have been cool. What about you? Any last thoughts?
Bring back Degrassi, please.
Yeah, put it out there. Beg to the Spotify, Apple universe.
Yes. So we will be back soon for starting season 6. So that's exciting.
Woo!
Message us if you have anything you want us to talk about or any thoughts you have, because there is a lot of things in season 6, but also not a lot of things at the same time.
Yeah, so check out our Instagram. It's The Social Disease, and our Twitter is The Social Disease.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.